we're here with Dan Davidson at the 2006 Extraordinary Technology Conference. Welcome to our interview series. So Dan, you probably single-handedly attracted more people to this particular conference than anybody else. The phone calls I handled on it beforehand, you were almost always mentioned.
Well, that's rather interesting. I'm glad that it helped the conference itself. We certainly need as many people to come to it as possible.
You are known mainly for the Shape Power book, which I've read. I've kept by my bed at times. It's an extraordinary work in many ways. In Shape Power, for people who haven't read it or are thinking of maybe getting it, what do you think is the best part of that book in the sense of what is the thing that's going to benefit the most from reading that?
Well, if anybody's interested in the ether or subtle energies or orgone or whatever, what I did was I discovered how shape converts the ether to the other forces like gravity and magnetism and electricity, what have you.
When you say shape, are we talking about the platonic shapes or in a more general sense of many different kinds of shapes besides those?
In general.
Uh-huh.
How any, like you can draw two lines on a blackboard and create a magnetic field.
Okay. Would that be a magnetic field as we understand it, like attractive?
Yes. You can create a magnetic field with non-magnetic materials.
Wow. I actually saw a demonstration of that here at the conference where somebody had a little metal tube that was not magnetic, it was aluminum, and they drop a magnet down it, and the magnet would take much longer to fall through the tube than you would expect.
Well, see, that's not a creating a magnetic field. The magnet already has a magnetic field, and it's creating induction in the metal tube, and the inductive currents resist the magnet falling through it.
Induction is a very important concept for people to understand in this sense, so I'm glad you mentioned it, because that is where electrical current essentially wasn't there before, but something causes it to flow.
Yeah, when you got a magnetic field interacting with other metals or coils or whatever, you create other magnetic fields as well as electricity in the wire.
That's good for people to know, because many of the people listening may be at a very beginning level of understanding on this. Now, how does this relate to gravity? Because I get the impression that there are some interrelationships between gravity and electromagnetism, and I'm having a hard time understanding that.
Okay, in Chapter 8 of the Shape Power book, I've combined the ideas of Paul Stone and Barry Minks along with some work by Lucas and Bergman on how the various forces create the ether. That was Paul Stowe's stuff. How the ether creates other forces and what their mathematical relationship is. Their work was all based on analyzing the ether from a hydrodynamic fluids point of view and then deriving the universal constants that we're all familiar with, like gravity and electromagnetism and what have you.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that would be a lifetime study in itself, just that one piece of it.
Oh, yeah. The implications of the ether itself, I think, are infinite, and it's just a matter of getting in there and starting studying it and experimenting.
The ether, do you feel that it has characteristics that are similar to what's described in an ancient Chinese document called the Tao Te Ching?
Well, I'm not sure if I know what that document is. The ether is basically was thought of as the mind force of God or the Creator acting throughout the universe. And as such, it is an intelligent medium. In other words, it will react to our thought and feelings.
Well, that is somewhat what you see described in the Tao Te Ching. So we're tracking on that, basically.
Okay.
And it is formless, and yet can create form.
Well, it's formless until it gets formed into something from either motion or interaction with physical forces or physical matter.
Could intention cause ether to form?
Oh, sure. It doesn't cause it to form. Ether exists, and your intention qualifies the ether.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes it into a more formed state.
Yes. All thought has form, and all form has vibration associated with it.
Yeah. Because it's my impression, too, that one's life could be changed by one's thoughts. And we see that all the time. And my, again, impression has been that your life has been a good demonstration of this.
Well, your thought and feelings, those are two of your creative forces, along with your ability to focus your attention. And those three forces qualify the energies that flow through you and that are in your energy field. And those thoughts and feelings create the environment and the conditions that you are now. In other words, right now you are the sum total of all your past thoughts and feelings as far as the physical body goes.
So directing your thoughts is a very important thing to do.
Yes, you know, you must control your thought and feelings and get into a harmonious state when you operate in this world.
I see. And what are some ways that you would recommend that people cultivate this sort of harmonious state?
Well, one thing is to learn about meditation. And by meditation, I mean focalizing on, for example, your higher self, which is the God self part of you.
I'm glad you gave a coherent definition of meditation, because there are so many definitions out there and some of them conflict.
Yeah, well, I'm a student of the teachings of the Masters through the I Am St. Germain Foundation. And as such, I follow their structure, and I've found that it works the best. I've studied practically every thought movement and new age and an old age and whatever, and that was the most advanced material on the planet that I found.
I see. Oh my. Thanks for mentioning that connection between science and spirituality. So many people are saying within this field now that there has to be some connection in order for us to have viable science that's not destructive to the planet. I'd like to get into some more general questions about gravity. Of course, there's a popular question that's probably come up before. When and how do you think we're going to create an anti-gravity transport?
Well, there seems to be a certain amount of evidence out there that the government black projects have done this, and they're keeping it a secret. My own view is that gravity transportation will not become an outer world usable function until the consciousness of mankind and those destructive individuals have been removed from the planet.
We would hope that the destructive individuals would remove themselves without forcing the rest of us to become like them to get them out of here.
I agree with you. We call forth the light to bless them all.
Exactly. Yeah, we got to pray for our enemies.
Yes.
I remember somebody saying that somewhere along the line.
Well, yeah, it's sort of in the Bible, I guess. It's ancient stuff.
Who's in charge here?
Do you even like the term anti-gravity?
Well, the thing is most people think of gravity as a basic force, but it's actually a secondary force due to matter interacting with the ether.
Ah.
And with the stress fields that exist within the ether. And if, for example, if you want to create an anti-gravity craft, you have to learn how to manipulate the stress fields within the ether, and then mass will follow those stress fields.
So really, students of gravity transport should be concentrating on the ether.
They need to understand the ether and how it functions.
That is a good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. We do have to wrap this all up here. So Dan, I want to thank you very much for your time here. Do you have any recommended resources, like say a website or anything like that, that you'd like to share with everyone?
Well, you could you know, obviously buy books from Steve Elswick's website on you know, Tesla technology. I think that one of the things that most people really need is a background in orthodox science, so they can go from there into more advanced concepts and work in the alternative energy field. Because if you don't have a basis in basic electronics and physics and an understanding of at least of chemistry to some level, it's going to be difficult to even prove that you've got anything when you start experimenting in these areas.
Okay, so that would mean also taking the usual courses in algebra and then calculus.
Sure, physics. Mathematics, physics, chemistry, electronics.
That sounds like good advice. And I want to thank you very much, and you have a wonderful journey back home.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.